Blog Talk Radio.
Just tuned in to Free on the Inside, the internet radio program, to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you. I'm Minister Lewis, and I'd like to welcome you to our weekly internet program. Now, to access this this show here, you can share this information with your friends and family members and your associates. That number is 310-982-4126 is our call-in number, and you too could be a guest on this program. We would just like to give acknowledgement to Beverly Beasley over at Granny's Place with sponsoring this program week after week. You know, we're going into our seventh year. Oh, isn't God good? This is a religious program. This is a spiritual edification program. So if you've been following this show for the last 7 years, you should have a sense of what we're doing, how we bring on different ministries and make a difference. And we're going to continue that format as long as we can, because we want to please our Heavenly Father. We want to thank Him for another opportunity to come forth here and to share what His people is doing in this time here. It's not me. It's God. God is up to something. Early in the morning, throughout the day, and late at night, it's God that's in charge. And I'd like to tell you about Granny's Place Ministry. Granny's Place Ministry is a nonprofit ministry that's meeting the needs of our young men and women at risk. Granny's Place Ministry is located at 1415 West Wheatland Road in Duncanville at First Free Will Baptist Church. Pastor Richard Terry is the pastor over there at First Free Will Baptist Church. You can find out more information about Granny's Place Ministry by going to grannysplaceministry.org. And then you too can be a part of what Granny's Place Ministry is doing. But I would also like to encourage you about following your passion, following your dream, you know, because God did not set us here just to do our own thing. The thing that you have encountered could be your ministry. The brokenness, the mistakes, the disappointment, that's a ministry right there. That's a ministry. Because it's like you log on to this show, you'll hear me say from time to time, and I send out texts and emails that say, help change a life. Oh, my God, help change a life in Jesus' name. Not in my own education or my own skill level, but in the name of our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. You know, Free on the Inside is a jail, prison, and street ministry. We go down to the various correctional institutes, and we encourage the men and women to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You know, Free on the Inside, we have this our initiative, JJPS, and I want to take time to tell you about ourselves this morning. We don't have a guest that's available, but we do have an open format. So if you care to call us at that number, 310-982-4126, and you too could be a part of this great show. Amen. But I want to tell you about why we do what we do. You know, you ever say, well, hey, man, why did he get up every Saturday morning and do what he do? I do it because God has been good to me. Yes, He has. In spite of everything that I've been through, all the things that I did to myself, God has been good to me. He never disappointed me. I disappointed Him. I fell short of some of the things that He wanted me to do. But yet, He had patience. And He put up with my madness. Yes, He put up with my madness. And I can say safely that He put up with yours too. Now, she's still here. He ain't through with neither one of us yet. But I wanted to tell you about what we're doing in the ministry. I like to say our ministry, but I like to say the ministry, because it's not mine. It belongs to God. The JJPS, and that stands for the juvenile, the jail, and the prison. We thank God that we're very active in our four of those elements there. The juvenile ministry is a ministry that we go to a couple times a month. We go over to the Cottrell House, which is a juvenile center. We also go over to Henry Wade, which is a juvenile center. We encourage those young men that God had forgot about them. We encourage them that God is greater than anything they can ever, ever imagine. And we're very honored and pleased that those young men in the juvenile center are catching hold to what we're saying, and they and their lives are being changed, and they're being structured, and they're being steadfast and unmovable. I'm saying that because I see the results of various ministries going out there talking to our young men. I see them out at different times. They're working and they're going to school, and I have a young man computer that I'm working on because I do computers on the side, and a young man is going to Prayer View. This young man was in. He was incarcerated, but now he's going to college, and he said he's going for civic engineering. He said, man, I never thought I'd be able to go to college, man, but because people believed in me, people encouraged me, and I saw the errors of my ways. You know, James 5:20 said, let them know the errors of their ways and save their soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. I thank God someone told me I was messed up. Not one time, not two times, but so many times I can't count it. But they didn't never give up on me. It were various people, but God was using those people not to give up on me. And so here I am. I've been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, I have a right and a privilege to go out and tell someone else about a Savior that lives and lives forevermore that loves you. I ain't got to tell you a sinner. Man, you sit up in jail. You eating food you didn't buy. You wearing clothes you didn't buy. Men are telling you to sit down and shut up. Men are telling you what program to watch. When you go to use the bathroom, all your business is out in the public. You know, and so I ain't got to tell you that you messed up. You already know that. But I can tell you about somebody that loves you anyway, that's about somebody in Jesus that ain't going to let you keep living like that, that don't want you to live like that, that he have need of you. I will put it that way, you know. He have need of each and every one, because God desired that we all shall be saved. And so we're over at the juvenile center, we try to encourage those young men the best way we know how, through the Bible and also through life application, you know, because you can't separate one from another. Amen. So we want to make sure that we get those young men off to a good start, the best of our ability. Now, with the with our young men's over at the juvenile center, we have started a vegetable garden over there. And last week we did an episode on how to start a garden. And you know what? We are actually implementing some of the things that we heard on the program. And I want you to do that too. Because it works if you work it. We done had artists on here. We had entertainers. We done had writers. So I want you to apply that skill and that talent that you heard here on the internet and say, wow, I could do it. If you have enough faith in going to YouTube and looking at them do different projects, surely you can get something from this program also. And we have a whole archive of things. I'm going to put it that way. We have an archive of 7 years worth of programs of edification, encouragement, and acknowledgement of things that you could do. And so I want you to apply those things to the best of your ability. But over at the Juvenile Center, we'll start our garden over there, and the young men were very excited about it. And, man, they were all gung-ho for it. They kept asking me, Mr. Lewis, when are we going to start the garden? When are we going to start the garden? So we actually started the garden. It's a 4x4 above-ground garden. It's small, but it's effective. I want you to think about that. Regardless of where you at, it may be small. Maybe just handing out a sandwich. It's small, but it's effective. It may be just going over telling a wayward child that you can get out of this, that God got great things in store for you. It's small, but it's effective. So I want you to just start right where you are with the small things and see how effective those things is in the name of Jesus. But in that garden, we have planted some, we have some onions, we have some peppers, we have some cucumber and squash, and also some tomatoes plants. And so this young man, they've been taking care of with the garden, and they've been watering it on a regular basis. I went over a couple of times since we have planted it. It's been there about a week. And I'd have made two trips over there just to make sure that they was managing it. And I got over there, and I didn't have to do anything. I just observed the garden, and they had been watering it and taking care of it. So if you have any advice on how to maintain a garden. Please give me a call. We'd like to use the information that you have. We'd like to use your skills to help change a life in Jesus' name. Amen. And so that's the project that we have going on over at the Cottrell House. And we also going doing a juvenile ministry today. We're going over to Henry Wade today from 12 to 2 o'clock. We'll have a ministry over there, a juvenile ministry. We're going over there and encourage our young men. And then from 4 to 5, we're going over to the Senior Citizen Center. And we're going to be over there today with those young people. That I say young is a number. Have a spirit that's striving to have more of God. So we're going to be over there with them also today. But I wanted to continue to tell you about the JJPS ministry. And the second portion of that J is for the jail. We thank God for him continually to open the doors up in the jail, how we have men and women to be very faithful in the jail ministry. We started out many, many years ago, and I inherited that ministry from my father in the gospel, which is Reverend Walker. I talk with Reverend Walker a couple of times a week, and he's truly a man of God, and he's my spiritual mentor. And so I've been up under his leadership and guidance for a number of years concerning that jail ministry. And so he's no longer able to go down there, but I still use the principles in which he set forth. We changed the name of the ministry from Trinity Jail and Prison Ministry to Free on the Inside Jail Ministry, JJPS. So, but the principles are still the same. And I love that. Because when you're building a house, you don't have to tear down the whole house to have a makeover. Sometimes you got to leave a foundation. If the foundation isn't cracked, you leave the foundation intact. And so, you know, as we started the ministry, we wanted to leave some things in place that's very useful in the ministry. We have the phone lines is coming on now. We have a couple of guests that we're going to bring on. They're going to tell us about their ministry and what they're doing at this season. And the next voice you'll hear will be Pastor Margaret. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, sir.
Well, thank you for calling. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
You know, I received a text from you regarding something that you have going on today, and you've been doing it for quite a while. I'd like to just for you to take a moment and share that with our listening audience, and maybe they can be a part of what you're doing.
Thank you so much for allowing me to be in your show. God bless. We have the food pantry every 3 Saturdays in a month where we give out food to clients from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And the good news is that they no longer have to have no ID, it's optional. So if you just need food, you can just come to 135 East Walnut Street, Garland, zip code 75040, Day Spring of Life Ministries. So we give out food and clothing and some other good stuff to get them from Sharing Life Ministries and World Vision. They give us quite a lot of stuff, toys for the children. So you can come around, get something. You don't have to be a member of the church. You don't have to have no nothing. You just come over and get something for your family to enjoy.
Amen. Now, how often are you doing this again?
We do it 3 Saturdays in a month. Which is the second Saturday, third Saturday, and the fourth Saturday.
All right. Well, God bless you. Thank you very much for sharing that information. And we pray that someone take advantage of this information. We want people to write that that address down and that location. That's on East Walnut Hill Lane. And make the and make arrangements to go over there and share that information with someone else that in need of it, because these are tough times for a lot of people and individuals. But it's a good thing that your ministry and other ministry are doing things like that to let people know that they're not in this alone. This is the hand of God. This is the hand of God that's at work.
God is good. God is good. We also have a program coming up for the Easter break. We will have picnic at Audubon Park, Oats. So the picnic, we invite everyone to come, share with us, eat, take photographs, enjoy yourself with your family. It's called the Family Weekend, April the 14th. We actually start in April the 14th, but April the 14th, we have it in the church. Then the 15th, we will be at Audubon Park. So
all right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So
go ahead.
Come with all your family members. So
hey,
much
man, I'm writing this down. Yes. Go right ahead.
Yes, yes, sir. The Audubon Family Weekend, April the 14th to 16th. But the 15th is the picnic for all families to get together and eat, drink, have fun, enjoy one another as family. Bring all your family. We also have photographer taking photographs, photo shooting. It's always an amazing fun time for families.
Amen. Well, God bless you there, Pastor Marjorie.
Thank you.
And we know that you have a busy day today. Thank you for taking time out to call our weekly internet program. And you too truly been a blessing to me in the ministry. I've been over there and I sit in with you and I've been a part of what y'all are doing. And I know that you do a set aside some time for our young people. And my hat goes off to you because I definitely have a heart for youth ministry. So keep doing what you do for the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you very much and have a blessed day. And we'll talk later, okay? Amen. God bless you. That was Pastor Margaret. Margaret, she was sharing with us about the food pantry that they have. We have another caller on the line here. We'll bring them in. Good morning, caller. You're on the net.
Well, praise the Lord, Pastor Joel.
Well, God bless you. How you doing there? So who am I speaking with?
This is Pastor Johnson, Pastor Charles.
Pastor, well, Pastor Johnson, God bless you. I am so glad that you called me. Pastor Johnson is one of our new applicants for our jail ministry. And so I'm excited. So he wanted to take that step and go out and encourage our young men to be strong in the Lord in a jail environment to let them know that God is no respecter of person. Pastor Johnson, God
Amen.
Bless you. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, God is good. Amen. He woke me up this morning. And I just received your text a few minutes ago, and I said, you call, there's something that we all need, you know what I'm saying? We need to be exposed to the things of God, amen. And, you know what I'm saying, we never know if we got nobody out there that's able to identify with us, that's able to help us, you know, when we're in need. And so on May the second Tuesday, me and another pastor friend of mine, his name is Pastor Palmer, we go down to the New Boston unit every fourth Tuesday of each month, and we've been doing that for over the years now, many years, and I got hooked up with it with him because of being his church. We fellowship with each other, and so we've been doing that now for some years, and I'm looking forward to going in, and you know, if you've been approved to go into the prisons, you're able to get on the list, you know what I'm saying, to go down there, and once you get on the list, you never get off. And you never get out. So I'm looking forward to that and this fourth Tuesday. And also, you know what I'm saying, we just want to invite you out, amen, to our church. It's called Freedom Community Church. It's on 1328 North Jim Miller Road on the corner of Lake June and Jim Miller. You're welcome to come out and visit with us. Our pastor name is Bishop John Lee. And we just have a good time in the Lord. And I'm looking forward, Pastor Joel, into going into the prison, going into the juvenile homes, and also going into the jail ministry with you. And as soon as you can let me know something, I'm ready. I'm excited about it. I know God's gonna do great things in that.
Amen. Well, God bless you. God bless you. We're looking forward to it. And you see how the word of God is spreading with the ministry team that came out to our ministry meeting, and how you was able have a relationship with Brother Tim, which you met him. And then tell us about your encounter with Brother Tim and over at the, I think it was Victory Outreach, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I've been knowing Tim for like about four or five years now. Ever since he had been at Victory Outreach, I was going when Tim was in a Christian recovery home after coming out of prison, had spent the 20-year prison sentence. And when he came out of prison and he went into the Victory Outreach Christian recovery home, I had been coming over there before he had came in. And I remember the first day that I met him, you know what I'm saying, he had a very, very gentle, you know what I'm saying, calm spirit about itself. And our spirits connected with each other immediately. And you know what I'm saying, I would go over there every weekend, you know what I'm saying, and sometime during the week, you know what I'm saying, and I would minister to the guys that was in there. And, you know, me and Tim over the year, we always had a good relationship with each other. He's a very, very respectable person, amen. He's a very, very gentle, you know what I'm saying, and kind person. And if for anybody that would ever meet him, you know what I'm saying, you would love being around him, you know. And I love being around him. I've met his wife, and I haven't met his children yet, but I've met his wife, amen. And she has, I see where, I believe that, where it says you have a happy wife, happy life. Amen. She's very, very happy. So, we've been knowing each other for about 4 years now, 4 or 5 years. And, you know what I'm saying? I really love my brother. You know what I mean? He the one got me, told me about the jail ministry. And one day I was over there visiting the church. And we didn't have nothing going at our church, and I went over there to visit the church, and he was telling me about you being over the ministry and that you getting guys to go into the jail. And that's something that I always wanted to be able to do, you know what I'm saying, to go into the jailhouse. Because as a matter of fact, I have right now I have brothers that are in loose theory, and I have matter of fact, I have a brother that is in loose theory right now, and he's going to be down there for a little while until they do what they're going to do with him. And so it will be a privilege and an honor, you know what I'm saying, to be able to go and share that with them. And because me, myself, I did my time in prison, and God delivered me, you know what I'm saying, from prison, or from a five-year prison sentence. And so I just thank God, and I want to be able to, like you were saying, Pastor Joy, I want to be able to give back to the guys, you know what I'm saying, and encourage the guys.
Hey, man, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. You know, James 1 and 20 says, James 5 and 20, I'm sorry, it says, let them know the errors of their way and save their soul from death. And someone told me about my mistake, my difficulties in life, and they told me about Jesus Christ, who's Lord and Savior. They can turn things around in my life, and surely it worked. And I guess, you know, and I'm from the old school. It works if you work it. Amen. You know, Pastor Johnson, as we go on with the program, we want to thank you for calling us up, brother. We want to thank you for encouraging our listening audience to follow their passion.
Amen.
You know, I want to ask you this question here before I let you go. What makes you want to do something like this here? Because you could be, you could be devoting your time to other things, but yet you find time to put yourself aside and go into and look at the needs of others. Now, what makes you do something like that?
Because, you know what I'm saying, people looked out for me. You know what I'm saying? You know, when I was down and out, you know, and I didn't have no hope and I didn't have no future, you know what I'm saying? People came and told me about Christ. You know what I'm saying? That's how I got my life back on track, you know what I'm saying, with somebody telling me. You know what I'm saying? And the Bible tells us, amen, that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. You know what I'm saying? And I enjoy, you know what I'm saying, telling other people about Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Because that was what reached me. And I know if he can reach me, and the Bible tells us that God is no respected person, he can reach somebody else. So that's my motivation, is that I love people. You know what I'm saying? And I want to see people blessed.
Amen. That's so true. That is so true. Well, I tell you what, I know that you're real busy. Why don't you just hold on and just listen to the remainder of the program here, and we're going to continue to get acknowledgement from other callers and things. We're going to tell you a little bit about our program, about our ministry. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
I have one question for you. How often do y'all do this? Do you have your program?
We have it every week, every Saturday morning from 8 to 9.
Every Saturday?
Yes,
oh,
sir. That's
okay.
Something I never tell anybody about it. I'm so sorry. I never mentioned this here to you.
No, you did. I didn't even know that. Why I got the text from you, and I saw it on the text, and I said I was going to call.
Yeah. I thank God for, because I want you to accept the gospel before you accept things I do in the gospel. It's very important.
Amen.
You know, to let God, to let God set the foundation, and then once, you know, then
amen,
he builds upon it. You know, you go around tooting your own horn, even though we do let people know each and every week, because we do it for their edification. Because we come on, do this program, we bring other ministry in, because we want people to know that God is active, man. Because when I was addicted to drugs and alcohol for a number of years, and different ministries used to help me out and used to encourage me and used to discipline me. You know, I got kicked out of several places, man. The same place that I go back and minister to, I got kicked out of. Like Dallas Life Foundation. I do a men's mentoring session down there once a week. But, you know, I got kicked out of Dallas Life. They told me, get out of here.
Oh,
you hard-headed, you rebellious, and you stubborn. Get out of here. But that was for my good, though. That was for my good. Sometimes
amen,
people get bad, and sometimes I never go back again, you know. No, that was for my good. And I was sharing with the brothers the
amen
other day down at the Hutchinson State Jail about Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, and how God told him to observe the potter. And the potter was working his craft, and he had this clay on the wheel. And the clay had some imperfections in it. It said that the clay was marred, and the potter took those things out. And then it got to the point that clay just wasn't workable, and the potter crushed the clay, but he did not take it off the wheel. He just crushed it and then reshaped it. Oh, my God, brother. You know, the time that I got put down, the time that I got set aside, I was in the master's hand. I was just being reshaped.
Amen.
And that's why I tell brother, I said, man, you're in jail. I said, you're being reshaped. You know, God ain't forgot about you. He got you on that potter's wheel. You know.
Amen. And you know, sometimes it's kind of hard for us to socialize that, you know what I'm saying, with God working in our lives, because we're used to looking at our situations and our problems and things that are going on. You know, and I shared with the guy, you know, I shared with the guys on yesterday, you know what I'm saying, as long as my problems can't be bigger than my prayer life.
Yes.
If I got a good prayer life, you know what I'm saying, then in my prayer life is going to overrule my problems, and I'm going to say what the Word of God tells me to say. But if I'm looking at my problems and I ain't got no prayer life, you know what I'm saying, then which one going to win? You know, so.
Oh, that is so true.
That is so true, Pastor. Amen. I wish I had been down to hear that one.
Yeah, because I tell you know, and I just thinking about you know all the things that we went through. That's why I stress it as much as I can and as plainly as I can. Your disappointments, your failures, your mistakes could be your ministry. You know, because none of us is perfect. You know, a lot of us come from bad situations. You know, abuse, neglect, bad decision making. That could be your ministry. That is your ministry.
Amen.
I recall, you know, just a side note, when I was homeless and I was out, you know, just living to and fro, and I went to this church, and this man to God, it was just with a brother or a pastor, I can't recall. But I had some old raggedy shoes and toe-up shoes, and this gentleman, he would carry me back to where I was living. He took the shoes off his feet, and he gave them to me. He said, "Brother, what size you wear?" And I told him. He said, "That's about my size." And he took the shoes off his feet and gave them to me. And at the time, I didn't understand. I said, "Wow." I said, God got me. He wants to order my steps. And they said the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. We can't just take these things. We just can't take them for granted, man. We have to have those spiritual eyes. And at the time, I didn't realize it. But then as I started doing ministry, and I'm not a poet or nothing, but I people used to come up to me and talk about they didn't have this and they didn't have that. And God gave me this poem one time, and I'll never forget it. It was just like it's just part of my life, just like driving license or your ID or something. It said, "I looked around, they had no shoes. I had shoes that I didn't use. With these shoes I give to you to walk the path God chose for you. With these shoes, you should do the things that God chose for you to do." And little did I know that these men and women were seeking a raiment. They were seeking a attire that they could go out and be presentable and get a job. You know, we can feed somebody, but clothing them too. You know, we got to take care of the whole man. Mind, body, and soul. I think what Pastor Margaret is doing, I thank for what you're doing, and for everybody, man, because that was me. When you feeding somebody, you was actually feeding me. When you clothing somebody, you were clothing me. You know?
That's right.
And so now I've been restored, I have a sense of doing it. Now, we can't do everybody. Now, we got to get this thing right. And some people that you just don't have the resource to help everybody. You know, some people just going to try to just use stuff and just try to get what they can out of it, you know, and take advantage of the resources that's available. But it's not for us to decide that. We have to use common sense. But we know some people just want to get this here week after week. And, you know, these people, they're doing well, but yet they still want some. But we let God do that. We let God do this decision making. You know, that's what I tell my grandkids and myself, that I'm not overly concerned about these people getting things. I'm going to use common sense now. If I know a person don't need it and God tell me, "Now I'll give it to someone else," I will. But I'm not going to say, "Well, this person ain't going to do it right." I don't, because that was me. You know what? I took stuff that I didn't need sometimes. I did that.
Oh, yeah. I believe we all have.
Yeah. So I can't be over anxious about somebody else. I know the mindset of a person that does that. You know, I know they're not in their right mind. They have they've been tormented by demonic gluttonous, a selfishness. You know, those things, they do happen. But glory be to God that He breaks that yoke.
Amen.
He
praise
breaks
the Lord,
that.
Pastor. You know? Amen. You're show us, and God has been good to us all. You know. Even when we was in my Bible study in Romans, that while I was yet a sinner, you know what I'm saying? While I was still out there doing my thing, you know what I'm saying? Smoking and drinking and partying and fornicating and lying and stealing and cheating, Bible said God died for me. Amen. So I'm grateful, you know, and I'm always grateful. You know, every morning I wake up, you know what I'm saying? I ask God, I say, "God, keep me today. You know what I'm saying? Keep me today. Don't let me stray away from you today, because that's all that we have is today." Amen. So I've enjoyed my fellowship with you. You know, it's always the first time I met you, we acted like we've been knowing each other all our lives.
God bless you. You do have that type of spirit that draws me in, you know, and that's that godly spirit. That's that calmness, that peace.
Praise
and that's what people need to see in the midst of everything going on. We can look at TV and we see how the world seems to be upside down. What used to be wrong is now right, and what's right is now wrong. People can just say what they want to say. And we know that's not right. We know that's not the society that God give us to govern, you know. But he said, you know, he said, "Pray for our leaders, you know, honor our leaders, you know, because they've been sent by God." Sometimes God put things in more. We don't understand it. But I was telling my wife about how Israel prayed for a king. Israel said, "We want a king. We want to be like everybody else." And the prophet said, "Wait a minute, you get a king, he gonna put taxes on you. He gonna send your sons to war. He gonna take your resources. But yeah, we want a king. Sometimes we just ask for something, and God said, "Hey, when I get to somebody, they're not gonna know what they're doing. They're not gonna govern. They was he was speaking, and yet, and that's what we got. So now we got it, but we're gonna have to pray. Rev, we got somebody else who's calling in right now. I want you to hold on, cause I want
okay,
to get back to the end of the show. Okay. God
okay,
bless you. Just hold on.
All right.
Okay. Hold. Good morning. You on the net?
Good morning, Brother Lewis.
Good morning. God bless you. Thank you for calling free on the inside.
God bless you. This is David Jeter.
Hey, Mr. Jeter. God bless you. Thank you for calling. You know, we have an open
line. God bless you.
And I wanted to just hear what you had to say, and just want you to share with us what's going on, if you have a desire to, because, you know, I met you in the mission field, on the battlefield. I met you out there in the trenches, and I know that you're still doing it. So, if briefly as possible, tell us about what you're doing and how often you do what you do.
I do what I do pretty much 24/7, honestly. I'm a drug and alcohol counselor, work with juveniles as well as adults. Currently, I'm having my own business, which I work with juveniles now, which is very rewarding, and that's male and female. They've been committed through the Texas Youth Commission or the state of Texas, and it's trying to help them change their lives around and get off of drugs and alcohol. Been having a passion for it for years, and been licensed since 1993, and really enjoy it.
And I know you do, because you've been doing it since I've been knowing you. You've been doing it with love and care and with discipline, because we know our young men, that's a challenge with the men and women. But, yeah, they looking for some guidance. They looking for this here. They may seem
you
hard,
are so true.
They
you are so care. True. You are absolutely correct. You are absolutely correct.
You
couldn't have been better said.
I'm glad you called me, because, you know, over at the Contrail House, I started a vegetable garden over there. And little did I know,
okay,
those young men, they were drawn to that garden. I go over there, I don't
wow.
have to touch them. Look at, they've been watering it, they've been tendering it, and they said, man, you know, what we need to do, you know, so, that's the kind of thing that I know that you're working with, you know, because we want to give our young people skills and talents. We just don't want to have them incarcerated and then let them go out. You know, back to
that
the
is so
world.
True. You are so right. And biblical says, iron sharpens iron. And once you plant that seed, you're going to watch it grow. So that is awesome.
And that's a teaching
that
moment.
That is truly
you
awesome. That is true. That is so true.
Yeah.
That's right. So true.
And you know,
well, I thank God for him putting you in my life and me in your life. And I enjoy the work that you do. Let me say that as well, because you do awesome work as well. So I just want to let you know that your reward is in heaven. But I just want to give you some new praise for what you do.
Well, God bless you. Well, it was because of people like yourself that didn't give up on me.
Well,
you know, because when we help someone else, we helping ourselves, because someone else helped
that's
us. And we realized that, Mr. Jeter, that we can't help everybody. I just said that a while ago. But we ought to be guilty of helping somebody, you know. We should
that's
live
true.
A life
that's
and
true.
We just not, you know, because God saved us so we can be a blessing to someone else, you know.
That
and,
is so
and that's
true.
All the scripture tell us, hey, when you are restored, you the strength of your
uh-huh.
life. We never know what that restoring comes in. Just saying a hello, being kind, just have
uh-huh.
a listening ear. It don't take much.
That's it. That's true.
It don't take much.
You're so right. It don't take much. Yes,
you know,
it sure
does. I was telling people about the garden. It's a small garden. It's a 4x4, but it's a start.
Uh-huh.
And I say if it works well, we'll just increase it. We'll increase it.
Wow.
And I was telling people, don't get frustrated over small beginnings. You know, sometimes people
uh-huh.
think they got to go big. You know, now God just
that's
wants
right.
to go. He'll make it big.
That's it. That's right. That's what you're right. Another teaching moment. You're so right about that. Well, I'm over there every Tuesday, so next Tuesday I go, and I'm definitely have to look at the garden. Sure.
Tell me that. What kind of training sets you have for our young people? So our listening audience know that this is for real, and that they too could do it. Cause what I like to do is give people information they can use. You know.
Well, I repeat that question again. I'm sorry.
What type of training do you make available for our young men and women that someone else here that might be able to apply to their ministry?
I'm available to do personal training, like at churches, speaking events, things of that nature. Now, if someone wants to get interested in becoming a counselor, the best way, what I would say for them to start off is that if they're in the Dallas area, is to start off with maybe a junior college every day in the Fort Worth area. The best one that I can say of in the Dallas area is Eastfield College, run by Ms. Jackson. And once they go to that program, and they'll be able to learn the ins and outs and find out if this is what they really want to do. Because you really have to have a passion for it, because like you said about the money, it's not also about the money. It's about having a passion for what you do. So if you don't have a passion for it, you think it's about the money, you're doing it for the wrong reason. But if you didn't try to change lives, then it's a really a good field to get into.
That is so true. Now, tell us now, what are some of the things that you expose our young people to kind of help them make it through life? As you say, you're doing, yes, go ahead.
There's different things such as, money management, proper grooming, just trying to look things different. You ain't got to be walking around with your pants sagging down because you can't go to an interview that way. You know what I'm saying? Just how to do things different. Have them to have an open mind. Having them to have an open mind is really good. If you get them to change their mindset, you've done a remarkable thing.
Oh, that is so true. And as you were saying that, one of the teaching tools I used was a tie. I brought a bag of ties in. And I was showing these young men how to tie. That's almost a lost art, a craft.
Yes.
And I told
you so right about that.
When you go on these job interviews, you want to look presentable. You can't go on the job like you go to the mall shopping, man. You got to look desirable. You got to make these people, hey, I want you out of anybody else. Even if they don't have the interview, you look the part,
Exactly.
And so we were showing the young men how to do the tie, and they were all in that kidding and joking and laughing. You know how they like, people, it's a peer pressure. But they all eventually practiced the ties, and then and after the session was over with, all the young men left out. But yet, two of them came back, and two of them started practicing on their own, and they wanted to learn how to tie a tie. I said, man. I said, hey. I said, even though they act like they don't want this, but they do because of the peer pressure.
Brother Lewis, I'm going to have to steal that one. I like that. Because, what I'm saying? There's a different type of knots, whatever have you. And you'd be surprised how many people, young men, as well as older men, don't know how to tie.
Yeah.
And that is awesome. I like that.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I've had older men come up to me, like, can you tie my tie? I'm like, sure, no problem. But I like that. I will be using that, too.
So my hat goes off to you, because even though you're teaching them things that we know because someone taught us.
Exactly.
But that's something that that's a terrible thing to let our young men and women grow up without learning how to cook. I talk to my wife, hey, teach my granddaughter how to cook, because they can't this fast food, the chicken.
That's
hamburgers. You got to teach these guys how to cook.
That's true. That is so true. So true.
How to keep house,
That's right.
How to keep
this
dress up, You can't walk around looking like a boy. You're a girl, but you looking like a man,
That's right.
Talking about the attire, the way they dress with the hats and the bags.
Exactly.
And so my head goes off to you because, you works with them every day.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I'm not going to hold you, but I thank you for calling.
I'll continue to listen in if you don't mind. I really appreciate you taking my call. Thank you so much. And keep doing what you're doing. And Godspeed and God's blessings upon you.
All right. Well, God bless you. Thank you for listening in. And you have a blessed day. And I'm going to put you on hold.
Thank
you. As long as you can, okay?
All right. I appreciate you. Take care of yourself now.
All right. Sure. We'll see you down at the jail, okay?
Okay. We'll do.
All right. God bless you. Thank you. That was Mr. Gita there. Amen. A good friend of mine, a true man of God here. He's out on the battlefield. He's encouraging our young men and our women, and I see him from time to time over at the jail, and definitely he's been doing it for a while. And, you know, and it encouraged me to see men and women that's been doing this a lot longer than me, and I know the things that they are going through because I have to face those things on a regular basis myself, but yet they've been doing it a long time. And I recall that once I didn't want to go, I couldn't go to the jail, and I almost would stop going. And this one of the volunteers told me, said, well, if you can't come down here all the time, if you can't do this, you don't need to come down here. And I took it to heart. I said, wow, I may not go. And I talked to one of my mentees. You know, we all ought to have someone we can talk to regarding what we do. And he was telling me, he said, man, this is volunteer. You know, come down here as often as you can. This is God's business. And you just do what you can, and God will do the rest. And sure enough, it's been 10 years and I'm still going down there. Me and the brother that talked to that told me about that, me and him still good friends, and he was trying to encourage me his own way, and someone else encouraged me. You know, sometimes people just do what they know how to do. You know, I'm talking about encouraging. Sometimes we can run a person off trying to encourage them. Sometimes we can draw them in and get them stability by the words that we say. And we see that through our political system. Yeah. You know, the president might mean well, but he just say all kind of crazy things, which is pushing people away. You know, I don't like the things he say. I don't like the plans he implement, but allow me not to look at, not look to man, but look to God. Amen. So we want you to continue to look to God for all that you do. Amen. Hey, but I want to continue to talk about the ministry, the JJPS. And we just talked about the J part, which was the jail, and the P is for the prison. We go down to the Hutchinson State Jail, which is a prison. We go down there on a regular basis, and we do Bible study. We encourage our men down there. We have a Bible study that we do that's ongoing. It's called our New Testament Survey, where we take Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and we read it, and we talk about the men and women in Hebrews, and it starts out in Genesis there, and that how God created everything. He said, now faces of some things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And take us back to Genesis. The Genesis, so we talk about that, and our young men are encouraged about what they said. Man, I heard about these patriarchs, but I didn't know their story. I didn't know how Abraham was called by God, how he left his comfort zone, and he left with his wife and his nephews Lot, and how along that journey that God had put him on, he had some challenges, and some of them that he was successful, and some of them he failed. When the God told him that, hey, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless those that you bless and curse those that curse. I ain't going to let nothing happen to you. But yet, when he found himself in enemy territory, and the people asked him about his wife, and he said, that's not my wife, that's my sister. And he gave Sarah away. I got to thinking, sometimes we give our blessings away. Sometimes we give our blessings away. Sometimes, you know, we holler the devil took it, but sometimes we gave it away. Well, we have another call on the line. We're going to bring them in right now and see if they like to share what's going on in their ministry. Good morning, caller. You're on the net. Good morning, caller. 4335. You're on the net. Well, God bless you. Just hold on then, and we'll bring you in later. Amen. And so what we'll do is the caller here just wants to listen in on, of course, right now. But going back to our Bible study and how Abraham gave Sarah away, not once, but twice. Ain't that something, man? Sometimes we just keep giving thanks. God blesses us, and then we find ourselves abusing, misusing that blessing or taking it for granted. And then one portion of the Bible study talks about Enoch. And they said that Enoch had a life before God, but he had a greater life after God. They said that Enoch had family, he had sons, and he had daughters, he had responsibilities. Sound like you and me, don't it? We just running, doing our own thing, not being mindful of God, not being overly concerned about God. But yet God was always there with him. And they said when he had an encounter with God, he walked with God and talked with God and got to know more of God. And he walked so closely with God and so in line with God and so in tune with the word of God that God took him on up to heaven. And God raptured him. And Enoch was the first man to be raptured by God. And I got to thinking, man, he walked so close to God that people didn't see Enoch no more. They saw God. When people look at you and me, are they seeing God? Oh, that's awesome. And they said that Enoch lived a life 65 years before he had a relationship with God, but he lived 300 years after his relationship with God. And wait a minute now. Our calendar year is 365 days. That means Enoch lived a life before God. He lived a greater life after God. Maybe by chance, young man, you here in jail. You lived a life before God with the things of this world, with the money, the clothes, the car, all the things that go with it. But now you have opportunity to know more of God. You're incarcerated. You in jail. You can't do for yourself no more, but yet God is still with you. It allows you to draw closer to God because you're in Bible study. And you would never go to Bible study unless you was in jail. But now maybe after this here session, you can walk closer. You can walk in tune with God. You can have a relationship with God. And guess what? Your ladder will be greater than your former. Oh, man, that's awesome, man. Your ladder will be greater than your former. You know, because those young men that's incarcerated, whether they're young or old, are still could be successful, still valuable to the kingdom, still needed by God. So we want those young men to realize that God is ever present on the throne. Amen. And so we're going to just take a moment here. We're going to play some archive portion of our past shows here. We want you to be encouraged by what's going on. Amen. So we have quite a bit of program that we have been blessed to be able to do. So we want to follow up on some of those things also. Amen. So we're going to share with you here in just a minute. We're going to bring on some old show, archive shows here. And just encourage you to be strong in the Lord. Again, that calling number is 310-982-4126. It's my personal number where you can call me and just talk to me about some things that you got going on. Amen. Or you can call the studio number and share this number with your friends and family. That number is 310-982-4126. Amen. You can call that number. And just be and just share it with someone else, amen. And so, what we'll do is we're gonna have an archive show that's coming up here in just a minute, and just a portion, just to let you know this is for real. But we encourage you to continue to follow this program, to continue to call in, and be a part of what we're doing. We'll do this each and every week, so we want you to know that God is up to something. We want you to know that your ministry is valuable, the things that God put to your hands to do. And so we ask you to follow your passion, to follow your dream. Amen. And allow God to use you in any way that he seems fit. Amen. And so as we continue to discuss our JJPS, the ministry, the S is for the street ministry. We go out as often as possible, do a street ministry. We go to a place called The Bridge, which is located here in Dallas. So we go to that, and we also go out and encourage men to be that they are useful and they are valuable in the kingdom. And we have another call on the line here. I believe this is our co-host. He's calling in this morning. We'd like to hear a word from him. We're about to run out of time, but we're going to bring in, I think this is Mr. Daniel. Good morning, Mr. Daniel. You on the net? Good morning, Mr. Daniel.
Hey, how you doing today, Reverend Lewis?
I'm doing great here. We're about ready to wrap this here up, so thank you for calling in. We got
a
few more minutes left.
Yeah, I'm a little late today. I got called in on a little service today on a little job I got. I might not be able to speak too long.
That's okay.
How's your day doing today?
It's going great. We had an open line today, so we had a few callers that call in and told us about their program and told us about some things that God had been doing in their life, and they're giving acknowledgement on how the program had been a blessing to them. And so, again, I want to ask you what you got going on to this week and in your ministry, and anything that we need to be aware of.
Well, there's not too much going on right now, Reverend Lewis. You know, that's kind of like we had just got over this prayer breakfast, my wife and I, and hosted, and basically we mostly just been waiting on another call of God for us to do something else for the city and help the people in the city. So, we got a lot of projects we got up for this year. You know, me and you got a little project we were trying to do together. You know, it's a little film documentary me and you want to get together on, you know. So we got a lot of stuff we got to get together. We just had a little time to do it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the weather's going to be conducive for us to do what we're going to do regarding that film project, because we get more people aware and everything be in the open. So it, I think we can actually work on it for the next 6 months or so. So it's something we definitely got to pull together. Now, Brother Daniel, now, I've been sharing with our listening audience about things that have been going on in the ministry and why we do what we do. Brother Daniel, I want to ask you that question. I never ask you. I just talk with you. I've been knowing you. But why you do what you do for the Lord, brother? Is it very important? Because sometimes people get it twisted. But why you do what you do for the Lord?
Oh, well, some of the things I do is because basically when I go to bed at night, I ask myself, what have I done today in order to make, you know, make my life complete and make, you know, other people that I have contact with during the day complete? You know, who have I helped? Who have I enriched? Who have I told about, you know, Jesus during the day? So basically, when I close my eyes at nighttime, I know basically, you know, when I, if I don't wake up the next day, I can help myself ensure that basically I was doing basically what Jesus told us to do, you know. So basically, that's what I do every day, because I know, you know, tomorrow is not promised to nobody, Reverend Lewis, you know. And we go through things every day. We wake up, we think of, you know, we are our own self-made man, but, you know, it's the power of God that strengthens us and quickens us every day. You know what the word quicken means? Quicken. You know, we get up. You know, and you get up. God tells a voice to tell you in the morning time to get up. If it wasn't for that voice, you would just be laying down now, Reverend Lewis. You know? So basically what I'm saying that today is that we have to understand that it's not about us. It's about God. And, you know, I've been looking and hearing about all this stuff going on, talking about Donald Trump doing this and Snoop Dogg did this and talking about, man, who want to try to kill a man? Do you think God wants you to kill anybody? No matter what they have done, you know, think God wants you to kill?
We're to pray for our leaders, brother, and that's what God tells us to do. And so he never going to put no more on us as an individual or a nation that we can't
serve. Yeah, you know about Snoop Dogg in his video he got out, don't you?
No, I sure don't.
He got a controversial video out right now that it's about, you know, him pointing a gun, a fake little gun, and it's a man that's on that. It looks like Donald Trump dressed like a clown. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's real satirical and everything like that, but still the point of, you know, you don't do stuff like that, and especially when the national security and stuff is all involved in it too, you know. We are all artists. Some people say art has a certain limits. You know, somebody said you have a freedom of speech and freedom in order to say certain things, and you know, but sometimes it's to the limit.
Yeah. And I
understand. Sometimes
you
push things to the limit.
And that's why we have to pray for our nation and our leader and the people, man, because everyone now, you know, they wants to try to take matters to their own hands. And like I said, you know, God will work those things out. Brother Daniel, I know you're about ready to get on out of here. I was sure about winding down, brother. Hey, man, thank you so much for calling. We always look forward to you calling. Of some things, and we look forward to you calling us next week, okay?
Okay, then. Thanks. Have a good day.
All right,
brother.
God bless you, though, brother. Right. We'll talk later. Amen. That was Brother Daniel. That was, he's a co-host of our show. Amen. And so we thank him for that. Now, we got a little portion of, we got about a minute or so, but I want you to listen to a portion of our interview from the men of Nehemiah. They were on it some time ago. So please pay attention to this, and we pray that you've been blessed by it.
The King Center, this past Valentine's Day, we were escorts for some of the senior citizens that were there. We sang, we volunteered, we helped pass out plates. You know, we do these kind of things. We go to churches, and they ask us to come, and we minister, and we share our stories, and we do praise and worship. We go to different places and we connect with businesses, and we have a way of rebuilding the men through some type of a work type of relationship once they have gotten past that first 90-day initial phase. So we help rebuild them and help them to get acclimated into going back and becoming an effective functional part of their community, an effective functional part of their families, and an effective functional part of whatever church they choose to go in. We try not to just talk about our Father's business. We try to be about our Father's business.
Amen, amen. And that makes a difference. That makes an impact in the community and the surrounding community. Now, now, how do men get involved in your program? How do they, stand up?
Well, what we have is a 9-month to 1-year program. It's basically designed so that we can get the individuals to come in voluntarily. The reason that is important is because of the fact we have a very strong military component, and within the first 90 days, there is a lot of training in terms of the military aspects. They learn physical training and exercising. They learn military facing movements. We call it drill and ceremony. They're taught discipline through these. We march a mile and a half 3 times a week through the streets, and we sing Christian cadences proclaiming Christ's love and his word and his mercy and God's word. So they have to be willing to do some things that they wouldn't have to do in other types of recovery programs. We're very, very...
You just heard a portion of our previous shows. Me and the Neil Mile, that's a recovery program that's located in the southern part of Dallas there. We want to thank them for being a part of Free on the Inside Jail and Prison Ministry. But if you'd like to hear more of that interview, that please take time out to go to our Facebook page, Free on the Inside with Minister Lewis, Free on the Inside Lewis. And so you too can look at go to our archive section and you can listen to all our past shows for the last 7 years. Amen. But thank you very much for being a part of what we're doing this morning. We pray that what we said makes a difference in your life, that you've been encouraged to go out and take care of our Father's business. We pray that your ministry that God put to your hands to do become effective in the lives of God's people. And we ask you to continue to honor God in all you do until we meet again. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Gracious and heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for one more opportunity. We thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us, dear Lord, to go out and tell a dying world about a Savior that lived, dear Lord. How you are no respecter person, dear Lord. How you done for one, you do for another. Dear Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for how you look past our faults and failures, and you call us sons and daughters to the heavenly kingdom, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we encourage other men, dear Lord, to follow our Lord and Savior, dear Lord. There's no failure in our God. Dear Lord, as we come to the end of this program, dear Lord, we ask you to continue to bless those in which you see fit, dear Lord. We ask you to bless all the callers that call in this morning, all the listeners, dear Lord, that listen to the program, dear Lord. Allow their ministry, dear Lord, to be all it can be in Jesus' name. Dear Lord, watch over each and every one of us until we meet again. And we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask you to continually to follow our Lord and Savior, continue to help change a life in the name of Jesus. Amen. We ask you to continue to go by and do our Father's will. Amen. Until we meet again, we ask you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There is a word.